The Buck Sexton Show.
This podcast brought to you by My Patriot Supply. Did you miss the chance to get a 72-hour emergency food supply with free shipping for just $10? What's wrong with you? Don't worry. Call 888-411-7440 right now. They have a few left, and they're selling out fast. 888-411-7440. What are you waiting for? A disaster? Do it right now. 888-411-7440.
You are entering the Blaze Threat Ops Center. This is a secure space. All outside comms are down. Prepare to receive the Buck Brief.
Many months ago, I told you that the United States was going to send troops to Syria. That is now the case. As we know, not just the possibility, the very high likelihood of U.S. Special Operations troops conducting covert missions in Syrian territory in the past. Now, in fact, we know that there are U.S. troops that are being deployed to Syria to advise and assist in some training capacity as well. And we have been told that it would be 50. Well, Secretary of Defense Ash Carter has said today that that small contingent could be larger than 50. And yes, I'm going to tell you now, it's going to be substantially larger than 50. It's just a matter of time and who's in charge in about a year. But that's already in the works right now. We went from no boots on the ground, perhaps preferable for many of you, I know, no U.S. soldiers on the ground, no U.S. armed forces risking their safety, risking their lives in a foreign Middle Eastern country, in this case Syria. That's not the case. We are going to have troops there. And then we have to start looking at the what now and the why. We're told that the campaign against the Islamic State has been ramped up. There are more airstrikes. The airstrikes are more effective. ISIS is embattled. It's just a matter of time now. They took back Sinjar in Nineveh province in northwestern Iraq, a usually Kurdish and Yazidi-controlled area. They took back Sinjar recently, and Mosul is certainly still in their sights. Mosul, the largest Sunni Arab-majority city in Iraq, still in the hands of the Islamic State, a city that is bisected by the Tigris River, but also bisected in a sectarian way with the West Bank of Mosul, Sunni Arab-majority, which is in ISIS hands. The East Bank is more Kurdish in terms of control and also in population. They want to take Mosul back, but there's a step before that as well. There, right now, the Iraqi army is making has dropped leaflets in Ramadi, a city that I'm sure some of you are all too familiar with, a city that was has been depicted in various movies as a difficult hellhole of a fight, and we had to take it from the insurgents. And it is a place, for example, where Chris Kyle, author of American Sniper, served. And it was a place where there was a tremendous amount of combat. Ramadi is in the hands of the enemy. It's in the hands of ISIS right now. And the Iraqi military is dropping leaflets telling civilians to evacuate over the next 24 hours. So it's going on right now, this effort to take back Ramadi, which is, by the way, not far from Baghdad. And they're going to take it back from the Islamic State. You'd ask, well, how many fighters does the Islamic State really have in Ramadi that it's been able to hold on this long in this city? The answer is that the estimate is a few hundred. There are a few hundred ISIS fighters entrenched in Ramadi who are holding off, up to this point at least, 10,000 Iraqi army troops. Now, you would say to yourself, how could that be? It doesn't seem like that's possible. Well, it's because they are dug in. They have elaborate defenses. And also, we'll get into the other reasons why it's possible. But according to the New York Times here, the group has constructed elaborate defenses. They cover them with sniper, machine gun, and mortar fire. And they have been able to, up until this point, push back all efforts to retake the city. They've done this in other places as well. They had a network of tunnels. The Islamic State created a network of tunnels in Sinjar. In Hawija, they had a 10-foot sand berm that they created. And, of course, everywhere they go, as the Times points out here, they put IEDs everywhere, machine guns, mortars, suicide bombers. In fact, in the taking of Ramadi, you saw tactics that were really using the lessons learned of al-Qaeda in Iraq in the past and deploying them in a way that was devastating. Don't just use a VBIED. Do an up-armored dump truck VBIED following behind an earth mover so that you can park that giant explosive wherever you want because the earth mover will clear any obstacles. So first you send in the up-armored obstacle clearer. You do this all under the cover of some machine gun and mortar fire if you can to keep people's heads down. The earth mover, the bulldozer, takes any obstacles out of the way. You know, any of these, you know, Jersey barriers or earth berm, whatever they've got. And then the vehicle-borne improvised explosive device, the VBIED, in the case of Ramadi, trucks up armored with explosives so that the driver could get right where he wanted and then detonate a massive payload, a massive explosive payload. It just shattered the Iraqi troops that were in defensive positions there. And now they've learned how to defend those positions better than the Iraqi troops did. So we're looking to see if 10,000 Iraqi soldiers can uproot, call it 300 or 400 defenders in Ramadi. Even if this campaign is successful, by the way, if the campaign in Ramadi is successful and then it continues on, and let's say by the end of summer, they have Mosul back in Iraqi government hands. Here's what we also have to keep an eye on. The Islamic State, and the Times has also got this piece, the Islamic State has a fallback option, as it's called now, in Libya. The town of, or the city of Sirte, which is on the coast, has become a place where a lot of Islamic State fighters are showing up. And the Islamic State is in full control. It started out, as it often does, with ISIS fighters waving black banners in the town square, driving around in pickup trucks, making a big show of how tough they are and how they're in control. And people say, well, they're not really in control. They're still contested by other militias. No, now they really are in control. This is from the Times piece. The Islamic State has already established exclusive control of more than 150 miles of Mediterranean coastline near Sirte, from the town of Abu Ghraib in the west to Nawafalia in the east. Pardon me. Oh, Nawfalia, there we go, in the east. The militias from the nearby city of Misrata that once vowed to expel the group have all retreated. Only a few checkpoints manned by one or two militiamen guard the edge of the Islamic State's turf where its fighters come and go as they please. They are in control of Sirte. They are in control of this city. On the Mediterranean, on the coast of Libya, just a pretty quick boat ride from Sicily, from Italy, from Greece, they're in full control. And there's no reason to believe that that control is going to be relinquished anytime soon. In fact, the group last month held its first two public beheadings, killed for those beheadings, of course, they were accused of sorcery, because that's a thing for the Islamic State. And they also had four crucifixions. They carried out four crucifixions in August, and they have imposed Sharia, including enforcing veils on all women. But, you know, the veil is a choice all the time, right? The veil is about empowering women, we're told by Western American women who don't know what the heck they're talking about. They're enforcing veils for all women. They banned music and cigarettes. They close shop during prayers. Right, Sharia. They're instituting Sharia, as it's written. That's what they're doing. So they are in full control of this city now. And this, now keep in mind, this is an additional battlefield, and we've got nothing there. There's no ground force for, there's no Kurds, there's no Iraqi army, there's not even a Free Syrian army there. There's some militias we can't trust, we're not willing to work with. So what do we do? What are the options? Administration hasn't even thought that far. We've got no idea. Maybe we'll fly some drones overhead. But as we all know, drones are a tactic. It's a scalpel. And sometimes you actually need a sledgehammer. Sometimes you need the 82nd Airborne. Sometimes a couple of Hellfire missiles, not going to get it done. Not even doing that really right now. So you have very senior leaders from the Islamic State have arrived in Libya by boat, according to Western officials quoted by the New York Times here. And Western officials say a senior Iraqi leader of the Islamic State, Wissam Najm Abd Zayd al-Zubaydi, has served as the group's top commander in Libya. He was killed in an airstrike near Darna. So they have sent senior guys from the Islamic State to go and set up shop and help them in Sirte. Now, let's look back to a few years ago. There were some rumblings of extremism in Syria along the Iraqi border, and these areas were no-go zones for government forces, whether Syrian or Iraqi. And there was the beginnings of what seemed like an Islamist jihadist insurgency. The Obama administration was warned about this, didn't care, didn't do anything about it, because, you know, Obama ends wars, even though he has not ended a war. Isn't that fascinating, by the way? Iraq and Afghanistan still at war. U.S. troops still deployed in both countries. Neither war has ended. But he's still the president who ends wars. I would like that to be explained to me at some point. How that is, why that is, why people still say that. But I digress. The Islamic State has set up shop beyond the borders of Iraq and Syria. The Islamic State now has franchised itself out. The virus has spread. And if you look at what happened in Syria and how quickly that incursion from Raqqa and the surrounding area into Mosul happened and how much ground they were able to seize, look at Sirte right now. The Libyan population is clustered along the coastline. It's just, you just drive along the few highways that they still have that are passable, and you can get to all the main population centers. And you also have, by the way, a tremendous amount of oil wealth if you keep those refineries going. So why do we think that this small group that's currently in control of Sirte, small being a few thousand fighters who are getting assistance and direction from the Islamic State, we don't think they'll be able to roll up more territory? Do we think anyone's more committed to the cause than they are? Do we think that the populations of cities like Benghazi and Derna, by the way, famous for being the city that provided among the highest percentage of suicide bombers to the Iraq war. These are Libyans who are saying, yeah, I'm going to go blow myself up in Iraq. That's what Derna was known for. It was suicide bomber central. So you've got Derna, you've got Benghazi, you've got Sirte already in ISIS hands. Why do we think this isn't going to spread? What reason, what rationale would we have? Oh, we think the militias, what, are so opposed to this? Yeah, they're just a bunch of George Washingtons on the coast of Libya there. No problem. I don't think so. But again, this is what happens when the entire policy is delay. Delay and defer. I would say delay and pray, but I don't think the administration does much of that. They're delaying, hoping that this just resolves itself. Right now, the President of the United States has access, direct access, face-to-face with any world leader pretty much imaginable that he would care to talk to. And instead of talking about what's happening with ISIS, instead of having a summit where they're going to come up with a real strategy and real commitments from the international community to do something, to find out where the rubber meets the road on these problems and actually deploy resources and materiel and men and planes and missiles, no, we're going to talk about climate change. Meanwhile, ISIS has already infected Libya. The infection has taken root. Only question left is it going to spread? And I would ask you, why wouldn't it spread?
This podcast brought to you by My Patriot Supply. Did you miss the chance to get a 72-hour emergency food supply with free shipping for just $10? What's wrong with you? Don't worry. Call 888-411-7440 right now. They have a few left, and they're selling out fast. 888-411-7440. What are you waiting for? A disaster? Do it right now. 888-411-7440.